Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaSports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi, good everyone, and welcome to another edition of Pit Pass USA. Glad to have you on board. It is a very, very busy week. We've got the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series season getting underway this weekend out in Pomona, California. The Winter Nationals, always a great time there. We're going to talk to a couple of drivers from the series, one in Top Fuel, Corey McLenathan. We'll also talk to Alan Johnson, who runs in the Pro Stock. Of course, NASCAR just a few days away from things picking back up down at Daytona. Of course, we'll get the Bud Shootout out a week from this Saturday, and then we'll get into the whole thing with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, the Nationwide, and of course the Daytona 500 itself being run. We will talk to Michael Annette, who has joined Richard Petty Motorsports to run in the Nationwide Series. And of course, this week, right now, testing's going on for the America Le Mans Series presented by Tequila Patron down at Sebring, and their season set to get underway in a month. And to kick things off on the program, let's talk about that as we are joined by the gentleman who is the defending LMP1 champion in the America Le Mans Series, both team, manufacturer, driver's championship, and that is Chris Dyson. Chris, welcome.
Yes, indeed, Larry.
You know, you're going to Sebring to test. You've got the 12 hours of Sebring where you did so well last year, and then the big announcement just a few days ago, two cars entered in the 24-hour Le Mans.
It's going to be a big year this year. It never a dull moment, especially this time of the year when you're trying to get all the plans done. But we're really excited about the season ahead, and I think that we're going to have a tremendous program. Looking at Le Mans as a real new experience for the team, but a logical one. And we think that it's going to be complementary to our ALMS title defense.
How does that, though, complicate things? Now you have the 24-hour Le Mans, which was a giant undertaking. I know you've got some help over in Europe, but with a two-car effort there and then focusing, of course, on repeating as champions in the America Le Mans Series.
Well, Larry, we've picked the right partners, and they've got a lot of experience at Le Mans, and the principals there know their way around the place, and that's what we're counting on as part of the relationship. And I think that from our standpoint, we're really going to be relying on our suppliers and manufacturing partners, because they're the ones ultimately who really need to be there. You're asking a lot from the crew and the drivers, obviously, but at the end of the day, as long as you've got the adequate parts, tire support, engine support allocated, you can arrange the freight and the transport. It's not an impossibility, and there is enough time carved out of the ALMS schedule where it can be accommodated. So we're looking at it as a challenge, but certainly not an insurmountable one.
How many changes have you had to undertake in the off season for your Mazda Lola as you prepare first for the LMS season and for the 24-hour Le Mans? Were there major changes? I know you've refreshed the car and done various things.
Well, we've got two new cars coming, actually. Two brand new 2012 spec Lola B12 60s, which are going to be a pretty big step forward versus last year's championship winning car. We're excited about that. We've worked closely with Dunlop over the winter on the tire development, and the guys over at Advanced Engine Research who prepare our Mazda engine have made a big step forward with both performance and fuel economy. So we know we're going to be up against tough opposition starting at Sebring, and that's going to continue through the ALMS season and obviously at Le Mans. I think we're going to have the right package. The car should be here with us within the next couple of weeks. We've got a test at the end of the month. Sebring is going to be, you know, a learning experience with the new package, but at the end of the day, the most important thing is to get to the finish, score the points, and go from there for the season.
How tough is that going to be, though, going into the 12 hours of Sebring with limited time in the new car? I saw that happen last year with several teams that had new cars, especially in GT, and it was somewhat of a struggle for them, even though you do know the Lolas very well.
Well, the package is right, and you know, we're not making any major changes to the drivetrain and the powertrain. So realistically, you're talking about a different aero kit and you know, different tire size. That will be, from a performance standpoint, the hurdle. But we're not fearful of just getting our heads around it, because at the end of the day, we know that we can trust the Lola wind tunnel figures. They're very accurate, and you know, we feel very comfortable about the setup that we've been running in the past few years. We've made some adjustments for the new tires, and I think we're going to be okay. If you look at what Hycroft did last year when they got their HPD, their car was delivered the Sunday before the race, and you know, within 6 days they'd finished on the podium. So, you know, I think a good result is possible if you have the basics right. And everyone at Lola and everyone at AER and the Mazda side of things, I think, have been working hard enough. And surely the Dunlop guys have been working all winter long. You know, it's our plan to hit the ground running. And, you know, without putting ourselves up against the gun, I think that we've, you know, it's late, but it's also doable.
Of course, the competition at the 60th running of the 12 Hours of Sebring lost a big competitor with Peugeot not running. How startled were you about that when you got the news?
Well, you know, Larry, I'd heard some whispers, unfortunately from some of the people who'd been connected with the program. I knew when I started getting some phone calls from some of the drivers, you know, during the off season, that something was amiss. And I think that it didn't really sound like corporately, like they were in a position to commit the sheer tonnage of investment. I think they were putting $100 million into the program annually. And, you know, they had laid off 6,000 employees in the fourth quarter. So they were in a tough situation, I think, politically, to justify that kind of outlay while at the same time laying off the workforce. And unfortunately, that claimed the program. But it's not an easy economic time right now. And, you know, these programs do take investment, and theirs was, you know, at the absolute top of the tree in terms of outlay. But, you know, we're startled a little bit, but I think it's like anything else. I think what it does is it puts a focus now on the gasoline-diesel balance, and there's nowhere to hide, basically. The last few years, it's been very, very apparent that there's been a big gap between diesel and gasoline-powered cars that's existed within the rules. I think this year with Toyota stepping up, you've got the Honda making a renewed commitment, and obviously we're going to be there. The spotlight's going to be on the disparity between the diesel and gasoline, and we believe the ACO has made an attempt to try to address this. Well, we're just going to see how that stacks up, but no one can hide behind the fact that there's a Peugeot-Audi battle anymore and say, well, those are the top two guys, and that's who's running for the race win. I think that the regulators have got to look at it from a point of fairness, and I think now clearly the spectacle is on the table. So, you know, I think that everyone's excited about Sebring and what the uncertainty, but more importantly, the new cars that we're going to see, the excitement, and it's 60 years, so you're going to have some special events in the lead up. I'm really excited to get going on the season, and we're looking forward to 2012 more than we ever have.
Well, one of the things I look forward to is the battle that Dyson Racing had last year with the Muscle Milk team. They've gone to Honda Power. HPD got a new car this year. You've got new chassis coming in with, of course, Mazda working on their engines. And you guys had an unbelievable battle last year. All anyone has to do is go back to the finish at Road America when you guys, I mean, it was nose to tail at the end after running that racetrack for that many hours, a 4 mile circuit. It was just incredible racing and competition between you two.
You know, last year it started at Sebring with a head-to-head battle. We were a little bit down the order, but we were going tooth and nail early on in the race with them. And it really continued at every stop along the way on the calendar. And, you know, Road America, unfortunately, they came out ahead. But, you know, if you look at some of the fights we had at Lime Rock and you know, some of the other events that were on the schedule, it was a pretty remarkable fight all the way through. You're talking about major diversity between the cars. I mean, we had the Aston Martin V12 running against a 2-liter Mazda inline four turbo. So, you know, this is what the fans get to really feast their eyes and ears on at an LMS race, is the variety. This year we're going into it, we both got new equipment, we both have different tire partners, and we both got different engine philosophies. So it's going to be, I think, interesting every step of the way, but that's what is so exciting about the LMS and kind of the Le Mans-based cars, is that, you know, 1 week to another, a tire manufacturer or an engine manufacturer can make a big step, and you can see the competitive order just flipped upside down. And you've just got to perform every weekend and hope that your development path takes you ahead of the other guy at the end of the day.
Chris, I may have missed it. Have you named your third driver for Sebring?
We have not. We will be announcing that probably within the next 2 or 3 weeks, but we're not rushing anything right now.
And the second car, are you running the, I know the Oryx car, of course, came on last year. They've kind of gone into sports car racing. I saw them at the Rolex 24 just a week or so ago. But second car, second team?
Well, we're actually hoping a little bit more than that, actually, Larry. I've got some plans in the works right now for a second car to be running on a partial season basis. We're working out the details on that now, and we're hopeful that by the end of the year we can have three cars running in the series.
Well, that would be outstanding. All of them LMP1, or could they be one somewhere else? LMP2, LMPC?
No, it's going to be an LMP1 across the board. We're going to support the category.
All right, and one thing I've got to ask you about, because you and I talked at the Aruba banquet a few weeks ago, we were comparing pictures. I was showing you my granddaughter, and you were showing me your family pictures about your son, who you said is already way ahead of the curve, the young man. How's he doing, and how's he continuing, and how long till we're going to see him on the racetrack?
Well, Nicholas is he's a pretty special little boy, and I've loved him, you know, since he's been in our lives, and he just does things every day that amaze me more and more. And I think a lot of that is a credit to my wife, who really has been an amazing mom, and you know, he and I try to spend as much time together as possible. I'm not going to push him into anything. You know, you see some of these fathers out there, they're living vicariously through their sons, whether it's baseball or, you know, you see some folks in auto racing who I think that their son's success is as important to their ego as it is to the kids. And, you know, my standpoint is that I've had a great life, and I've been able to write my own story, and he's going to be able to write his too. So, you know, if he's interested in racing, great. You know, he'll have the support behind him that I did. And I'm not going to be able to say no, because even though I know the risks and I know the level of commitment, he's got to find that out for himself as well, just as I did and just as my dad allowed me to do. But there was no pressure against me. In fact, there was, in some respects, my folks were not for me racing. I think we're going to take a real healthy skepticism towards it, because we want to make sure it's Nicholas's decision to go into racing. I mean, athletically, he's gifted already. I mean, he's got amazing balance and coordination. Seems to have some, you know, innate car control abilities, but it's hard to judge based off of a cozy coupe and a battery-operated four-wheeler. But he has inner ear qualities for balance that I think that I don't even have, and I think he gets that from my wife. And we'll see. You know, my daughter too, I can't count her out either. I mean, she's tiny, so she's going to be the smaller of the two. She's got amazing intensity and coordination. You know, Leona could be the driver in the future for the family. And you can't really count anybody out on gender these days, because, you know, you look at it now and the sport's becoming a little bit more of a level playing field. So, you know, it's all in the future, and it's all in the distant future. And I'll be gray before that happens, but it would be fun if it did, but I'm totally okay if it doesn't happen.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with me, and best of luck at the 12 hours of Sebring coming up, the 24-hour Le Mans, and it's always great talking about the kids. Thank you much, Chris.
Okay, Larry, thanks.
Chris Dyson. The Dyson Racing Mazda Lola with G-Oil on board, getting ready to do battle at the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring. First, the testing going on now, then the race itself, the 60th running of that event, and, of course, going to the 24-hour Le Mans, where we'll await those big announcements from Dyson Racing in the next few days. Well, next up, we'll turn our attention to this weekend's NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series season opener out in Pomona, California, when we talk with Top Fuel driver Corey McLenathan. When we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network. Have we got a high-energy, all-access sports show for you? It's Outside the Huddle, starring Lemont Williams. Each week, join Lemont as he takes callers, discusses the week's top stories in the world of sports, and sits down with active and former players to discuss their transition from sports to business. Outside the Huddle is a great resource for players making career transitions both on and off the field. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific for Outside the Huddle on the Voice America Sports Channel.
It's the Revolution with Jim and Trav, brought to you by Zeiss. This week on the show will be
Mark Zona from Zona's Awesome Fishing Show, Classic winner Mike Iaconelli, Rebel Lures Lawrence Taylor, Unpro's Chance Orth, and Cat Daddy. When we talk about the Bassmaster Classic coming up later this month, all brought to you by Ram Trucks at ramtrucks.com. Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on the trail.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Big weekend, NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series season getting underway where it always does, and it ends out in Pomona, California. And joining me now is a gentleman who's looking for a great 2012 after 2011 was kind of an up-and-down year following his release in 2010 at the end of the season from Don Schumacher Racing, and that is Corey McLenathan. Hey, Corey Mack, welcome, and, well, the season is upon us.
Oh boy, it'll be here in a couple of days, and I mean, obviously, thanks for having me. It's great to be out testing already and have a couple laps underneath our belt before we roll into Pomona with the Repsol Top Fuel team. And you know, the new crew chief, Keith Stewart, did a great job during Vegas testing. We ran 392 at 306 and 391 at 306 as well, and really wasn't really pressing it. So I think everybody's kind of not really going to show their hand until I get into Pomona, so to speak. But I'm looking for good things out of this team.
You had the last part of the season a handful of races with the Santo Rapisarda team. Of course, Santo out of Australia with Santos Cranes, the Top Fuel dragster. How much does that help you going into this season, even though you do have the new crew chief, as you mentioned, in Keith Stewart?
Well, it was a brand new car last year, and everybody knows there was a lot of help from DSR and the guys who used to work on the Fram team with me. Todd Okahara, Phil Schuler, and the gang were really trying to help tune the car for us and kind of get us set in the right direction. You know, learning a lot of the tuning aspects of these cars is not something I've done in the past, but I had a lot more, you know, insight of what it takes to run one of these things, and that's why Todd Okahara and Phil Schuler are who they are, because it is not easy. I can tell you that, my friend. But it's been good. A good learning experience for me going kind of
from the driver's side to learning, you know, what it really takes to tune one of these cars. And, you know, we ran 389 in Pomona at the end of the season. I think we had a very strong car, you know, with only six races underneath our belt. I think we had a very good chance at running the mid to low 380s. And I think we'll be able to show that this year. I just, you know, you never want to speak before it happens, but I think I'll let the car speak for itself. But right now, I'm very confident.
How much is it in the driver's psyche this year? You don't have to worry about the season. The funding supposedly is set there for the entire year. All you've got to do is concentrate on what you do on the racetrack with the team.
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, that makes a big difference. Trying to find the funding all the time, just be able to make it to the next race. You know, I've done that before. I've been on both sides of the realm. Ran it with my mom and dad in the early 90s, you know, got together with Joe Gibbs and Larry Miner and did the McDonald's years. And then obviously with Don, you know, it was pretty much unlimited and had everything to do whatever we wanted to as a team. So it's something different to get back to racing, you know, kind of by your pocketbook and seat of the pants. And, you know, my biggest thing is try to keep everything in one piece so I can bring it back and give Keith Stewart something to tune for the next run. And that's something that I, you know, try to pride myself on, because I have run on a low budget before. Santa was not afraid to spend the money. He just, you know, there's no reason to go out there and destroy stuff. And obviously with the oil down situation, you know, your first one's free. Then they start costing you from there. And you certainly don't want to get into a position where you have two or three oil downs, because it starts costing money and then starts taking away points. So you start getting the negative there. And it's just not conducive to a good season. So we're hoping to start it off, keep the thing clean, go to A to B, and run good. But I think there's 18 or 19 cars entered right now. But, you know, last year we rolled into Pomona, there was 25 cars. And I think we're going to see a bigger car count than we're actually expecting. But at the time we ran in Vegas, that's what we're looking at. It's one of those things where it does help to have the funding, and Santos certainly has funded us. He's got Titan Cranes on board this year as well, and that's also an Australian-based sponsor, and I'm looking to do some work with some of the people I've worked with in the past. So the more I can bring to the table, the better we can run.
One of the intangibles that might be overlooked and might be a factor in all of this is the race shop being in Brownsburg, Indiana. That has become the hub of NHRA teams. Everyone's across the street from each other out there in Brownsburg, and that kind of gets the team into thinking all the time, doesn't it? Being around other people that are in the sport 24/7?
Oh, definitely so. I mean, going in there and working all the time and knowing that we're only, you know, a stone's throw from DSR, and, you know, we run all DSR heads, we run all their clutch stuff, and, you know, it's one of those deals where it's nice to be able to go over there and know that what we're going to pull off the shelf and buy from them is going to be, you know, the same thing that they're bolting on the Army car, the Fram car, you know, the Matco Tools car, and, you know, Aaron's. I mean, it's just one of those, it's a comfort zone type of thing. But being in that race mecca in that area in Brownsburg, and, you know, we could actually tow our car over to the racetrack. That's how close we are to IRP there. So it really does help. It's a great area. It kind of gives you all that comfort zone, and you know whatever you need to get worked on can be right there. It doesn't have to be shipped out. You can get it done the same day.
Yeah, it is. It's right down the street from, well, it's not IRP now, but us old people still call it Indianapolis Raceway Park. It'll always be that way. What about the pressure on you now? You had the six races last year. You've got the crew chief this year. You've got the funding. You've talked about having the DSR chassis and various parts on it. Is the pressure now on Corey Mack to deliver?
I think it's on both of us. I mean, Keith Stewart is somewhat new to the whole crew chief scene. I think he'll do fine. I've known Keith for a lot of years. He was excellent in the clutch area when I drove for the Glens in 04. I think he's learned a lot since then, and he's very common sense and that very calm, and that also helps me. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I need to do my job. I think he'll do a great job, and we'll learn together. But he's been very good at, you know, let's just work together. Let's figure things out. We'll take one step at a time. Let's learn to walk before we run. And that's a good way to approach this type of deal, because, you know, in one of these things, things can go bad very quickly in one of these cars. So it's, you know, it's comforting to me. I've known him for a long time. It makes it really easy. I think the transition will be a smooth one.
Corey, what do you look for at Pomona? It looks like, at least the early indications, the weather is going to be very, very nice out in Pomona. It's a track where we can see national track records because it kind of goes downhill, so you get a little extra momentum, and maybe get the Santa Ana winds blowing the right way there, and it might help you out a little bit. What do you look for this weekend?
Well, let's see. I grew up in Orange County, so this is kind of still hometown to me. So, yeah, you're definitely right. I mean, I think the weather's going to be perfect for us. You know, we had the one run on Thursday, one run on Friday. That's normally not our schedule. We would have a two runs on Friday, two runs on Saturday at most national events, but Pomona's a little bit different. So I think we're going to have to come out swinging, though. I don't think we can be too shy. We need to run low 90 or a high 80, probably right out of the box, because there's going to be guys like the Fram car and obviously the Army car and, Alan Johnson. You know he's going to be swinging for it. So they're going to be running probably mid to low 80s out of the box. And we didn't test as much as they did, so we don't have all the information that we'd like to. But I still think that we're going to be able to be okay there, and we'll come out swinging. But there's going to be some fast cars after this weekend. I hope to be right in the middle of the pack.
And I'm assuming it's key maybe to get that fast time the first time out to take a little pressure off so you don't have to sweat it through the weekend, and maybe then you can do some things?
Well, that's the thing. You know, if we can come out and kind of qualify in the mid to lower part of the whole session on Thursday, then we have that Friday night session and we can come out and, you know, throw the trailer at it and really try to go for something. When everybody knows that if you qualify well, your first opponent should be a little bit easier than having to go up against the likes of DSR or Alan Johnson. And, you know, it's just one of those deals where it would make it nice for us if we could qualify, let's say, you know, fifth or sixth, and then have to race a car that's a little bit slower for the first round. We all know anything can happen in drag racing, but if you can go up there confident on Sunday, I'm all about that.
Well, I have a feeling that, Corey, we're going to see this a lot or hear this a lot. Corey Mack is back here in 2012. It looks like you're lining up for a great season.
Well, I appreciate it. We look forward to it. You know, I just want to get out there and get swinging with him again. And I've missed it and missed driving full time. So we're going to give it the best shot we can. I appreciate it.
Corey McLenathan, hoping that 2012 is a much better season than 2011 when he was unable to run the entire schedule after being with Don Schumacher Racing in the previous years, but it looks like he's got a great ride and a great chance to do well in 2012, except the competition is going to be very, very tough. You want to talk tough? All you got to do is look at the NHRA Pro Stock Division. Talk to a gentleman who last year was driving with a torn bicep. He got it fixed in the offseason, and he's rearing to go. We'll talk to Alan Johnson when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
What's the national pastime in the U.S. in the 21st century?
Are you sure? Think again.
3 out of 4 Americans have made NFL football the true American pastime. It's now one of the fastest growing sports in the world. But how do we as fans understand everything that goes on behind the scenes? Tune in to Enter the League with Eugene T. Lee Esquire as your host. Eugene was the featured NFL agent in the ESPN acclaimed documentary The Dotted Line. And now he takes his expertise to the Voice America Sports Channel. Listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
If you're looking for a radio show about boxing, you usually can't find one until you stop by the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in to Outside the Ring with former world lightweight champion and U.S. Olympian David Diaz. We'll deliver the knockout punches with our guests as we go inside the minds of today's top fighters. We'll throw in discussion of other sports as well from time to time. Outside the Ring with David Diaz airs every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies Handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
The NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series season gets underway this weekend out in Pomona, California. Lots of teams testing in Las Vegas, and one of those is my guest's team. They are there making a stop because he hasn't had a chance to get in the car following surgery, and that's Alan Johnson, who drives the Mopar NHRA Pro Stock Dodge Avenger and joins us now. Alan, you got to be glad to get back in the car, and how's the healing going on?
Oh, it's going well, Larry. Thanks for having me on. Been working on this thing all winter. Can't do a lot with it, but been doing a lot of rehab with it, and hopefully I'm going to get out here in the car here in a few minutes, and everything will be just fine.
Now, you had a torn bicep, and you ran the entire season with that last year?
Yeah, I tore it actually in Pomona, Winter Nationals year before in 2010, scooting some chairs, so I didn't get it fixed in time, so I couldn't get it fixed. So had to baby it all year, all last season, yes.
How tough was that going through the season with a bum shoulder?
Well, you know, it was about 60% torn. The doctor told me, he said you could tear it the rest of the way loose very easily, but in worst case scenario, that's what I'm going to do to fix it anyway, is take it the rest of the way loose. So just, you know, try to keep the shock syndrome down with it, and maybe it'll stay put. And it did, and now we're going to do the same thing again, just try to keep the shock down on it this year and let it heal.
How tough is it, though, not getting all that practice time? You've actually had another driver in your machine the couple of times that you've done testing here before actually getting a chance to get back in the car here in Vegas before heading to Pomona.
Well, you know, I was just down talking with Greg and Jason Lyon. They've made the one drove since Pomona either. So, basically the same thing. We've been doing this so long that hopefully it'll be just like riding that bike deal.
Well, it's got to be good for you. Now can you shoot that three-point shot since you got the torn bicep fixed?
You know, I haven't done anything with it much. The doctor told me that he wanted that full 12 weeks of just healing time to let that tendon heal back to the bone before I start doing any kind of trauma to it. So I really haven't done anything except stretching and just mild weight, you know, lifting. So,
are you concerned when you get back in the race car what it's going to feel like with the shoulder? I mean, you've been racing almost 2 years with a bum shoulder, and now you've had the surgery, and it might be 100%. You might even have to relax a little bit, having had the problem and a different force on the clutch, on the brake, and everything else in the car.
Yeah, I've actually got my brace with me. I may even put it on the outside of my fire suit and see if it's comfortable to wear, just to keep the shock syndrome down for a little while longer. We're just going to have to see when I get in it. But, yeah, it'll be a little different, but we'll adapt to it.
Time with Alec Johnson here on Pit Pass USA, drives the Mopar NHRA Pro Stock Dodge Avenger. The NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series season getting underway. And Alan, what about this year? We saw great competition last year in Pro Stock, and looks like it's going to be a barn burner right down to the wire again this year.
Yeah, we got almost the emergence of the factory wars again. You know, Morgan's running good with his car, and bringing the Chevrolets back, and you know, our Dodge Avengers and Mopar has done such a good job with them. And, you know, addition of a couple more drivers with Jakey and some others. So I expect this is going to be a real year for the fans and Pro Stock.
Well, isn't that good, though? I mean, we all remember the manufacturer wars in Pro Stock, and it was great because you had all the factions. You had the Chevy, you had the Ford, you had the Pontiac, yeah, you had the Dodge, you had everybody out there. And it was just great to see this rivalry and the intensity of not only the drivers, but the fans.
Yeah, that's what makes Pro Stock, and hopefully we're getting back to that. you know, Dodge and Mopar is heavily vested and involved in pro stock. You know, the Ford machines are coming back and then the Camaros. So, yeah, it's going to be a great, fun year, and hopefully we can keep these Mopar Dodge Avengers out in front and bring that championship home.
Does that make it even more fun for you when you go up to have the bragging rights against another manufacturer? I know your drivers are pretty much all friends. You have to be. It's the circus. You're there, you know, each and every week. Your families grow up around each other at the racetrack. But does it add a little more to you even as a driver?
Oh, for sure. You know, we might all be friends, but when you pull up that line on Sunday, we're we're trying to tear each other's heads off. So when you can go up there and have bragging rights with your Dodge and your Mopar machine, it definitely is fun.
What do you look for at Pomona? First time out of the box, I know a lot of teams were, you know, obviously at Palm Beach International Raceway doing a lot of testing. A lot of teams are doing what you're doing right now. They're at Las Vegas making the trek from wherever the race shops. A lot, of course, in Brownsburg, Indiana these days, and going cross country, go to Vegas, and you make the short drive on over to Pomona, which is about 3.5 hours or so from Las Vegas. What are you looking for at Pomona? Looks like the weather's going to be great.
You know, we're looking for consistency this year. That probably cost us a championship last year. We was one of the cars to beat for that. And just the consistency of our decision-making, the consistency of the car, the whole package. So, you know, we've added a couple people. We've added a new race car. We've done some quite large changes. So, you know, that's what we're looking for, extra brain power and a consistent race car. I think we'll get it done.
That's one of the things that I hear more and more from all of the different ranks in the NHRA, the brain trust, that people are adding more and more people to their staffs. Has it really become that technical and that much going through all the data?
Yes, sir. Takes a lot of data to figure out how to milk that thousandth. I mean, we're looking for thousandths now. And, you know, that 4 or 5 thousandths might be the difference between first qualifying position and fifth qualifying position. So, you know, we have to milk that gear ratio. You might have a 266.1 first gear, and you can go to a 266.4, and that's worth 2/1000ths of a second. So, yeah, it's just very, very technical, and it takes good people to compete against these other good people.
Alan, is there anything in particular you have to do for the car setups? I know you've got people that actually work on this, but at Pomona, everything's got to be done during the day. They've got the sound requirements. The things have to be done at certain times, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You never know what it's going to be weather-wise, although it looks to be good and could be very prime conditions at Pomona this weekend. But is there anything that's very particular to Pomona for those that don't know?
Well, the lane choice is really big there. The right lane on the starting line that sort of drops out from under you when you leave the starting line. The left lane doesn't. And on race day, that's usually a big factor. You know, it's about 100th, 100th and a half difference in 60-foot time because of that. And just a little harder to manage. And the track at Pomona is just like Charlotte. It's got the 2% grade, which is allowed, you know, and it's a little bit downhill. So speeds are always a little more there than they normally are. But and the biggest thing is a very, very short shutdown area. If you don't get your chutes out there, which mine didn't come out the last run last year in qualifying, it is all you can do to keep her out of the sand trap. So
yeah, you
few
can't.
Unique things about Pomona.
Yeah, you kind of throw your leg out the side of the car and drag it along and hope you slow it down?
Oh, my. Those carbon fiber brakes, you know, when you first hit them, they're not a lot there. And then the hotter they get, the more aggressive they get. So by the time you're into them, you got to really be careful. You get it sliding and wheel hopping. So it's a very, very hard deal to do when your chutes don't come out.
So because of the way Pomona is set up in the racetrack and going downhill, and a lot of times you get cool temperatures, is that why it's always flirting with national records or setting national records out there?
Yes, sir. I mean, you always have good air there normally. It's a little cooler, and you're near sea level. So you've got good conditions to start with, but that with the track configuration. Yeah, it's always a little faster than it should be.
Well, Alan, I know you're looking forward to the start of the season, getting back into the car, and with a fixed flipper there on the torn bicep that you finally got taken care of in the off season, and we wish you best of luck as you begin the quest for the NHRA Pro Stock title.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Larry, and all the Mopar fans, keep your fingers and toes crossed, because I think we got something for them.
Alan Johnson, that Mopar Dodge Avenger, set to go, and so is he after having all that surgery on his torn bicep. How would you like to drive a car that's going as fast as they're going down the drag strip and got a torn bicep? Now it's repaired. I guess they found a bone spur, too, and corrected that when they did the surgery, and just got into the car for the first time at Las Vegas, now off to Pomona, of course, for this weekend's event and the first qualifying runs coming up on Thursday. Well, next we will turn our attention to NASCAR. Yes, they are back. Well, at least they will start next week with the Bud Shootout and qualifying for the Daytona 500, and then the season openers for the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, the Nationwide Series, and, of course, the Daytona 500 for Sprint Cup. We'll talk to Nationwide Series driver Michael Annette, who's got a new ride with Richard Petty Motorsports, when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power of Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
What if there was a program that brought the best in sports and the best of entertainment together in one place? It can be done, and Darnell Autry proves it every week on Outside the Spotlight. In this program, athletes and artists come together to share their success stories, hobbies, professional projects, and more that will interest not only the sports fan, but fans of entertainment and other human interest stories. If you have something you want to ask your favorite athlete or entertainer, listen for Outside the Spotlight, Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with Kay Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Play ball. If you're looking to talk baseball, even in the off season, look no further than the King's Corner. Talking baseball with former World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Jim's known for a rather controversial stance during his show. He's brutally honest and ready to talk with current and former players, owners, and other key figures to bring you baseball from an insider's view. You won't want to miss a single episode. The King's Corner, Talking Baseball with Jim Leyritz, is heard every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Well, it's almost time to head back to Daytona as we gear up for the beginning of the NASCAR season, of course, with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, the Nationwide Series, and the Daytona 500 for Sprint Cup. And this young man, kind of up and down at the end of the year, suddenly had no ride. Now he's got a job and a ride with the King, Richard Petty, and that is Michael Lynette, who joins me now. Michael, welcome and congratulations.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on today. A little bit of a different off season than I've had in the past, but I think it's a blessing in disguise, and I'm really looking forward to getting that Ford and be down in Daytona in a couple of weeks. It's pretty exciting right now.
Well, when you take a look at the end of last season, you had a great run. I believe you were ninth in points. Solid run for Rusty Wallace Incorporated, and then suddenly the announcement, I think it might have blindsided a few of us, that they were ceasing operations, and there you were without a ride.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. It's just a testament to kind of the times we're rolling through right now. It's just hard. It's a bad time for our sport, but luckily, we had a little bit of a scramble, but we landed over at RPM and, And like I said, just really looking forward to this upcoming season and being in that 43 car driving for Richard. And you know, we got a really, really good group of guys over there at Richard Petty Motorsports. And we still got to fill a couple more spots, but we're kind of in a little bit of a mad dash right now. But we're going to be ready to go at Daytona and pull through that tunnel and be ready to go for a championship this season.
Now, we all know Richard Petty Motorsports with the effort that they have in the Sprint Cup side, but they've not really been involved in the nationwide. Obviously, you and Richard, that entire organization, got together, and everyone was convinced, we need to go do this.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just, I'm privileged to have the partnership I have with Pilot Flying J. They've been with me ever since I started racing, and I think everybody over at RPM, it was just a really good package deal, and they wanted to get into the Nationwide Series. I think they ran one Nationwide race, and they won it last year. So they're one for one, and I'm just looking forward to be able to represent the 43 car, represent Richard and just that whole organization.
Well, when you take a look at it, it was a Ford Mustang that won the Nationwide Series crown last year with Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and I'm assuming that this is a deal where the chassis and all are coming from Jack Roush and Roush Yates Power, so you're going to have the same kind of equipment that we saw last year's champion, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., run, and of course Trevor Bayne did too, and so did Carl Edwards, who's not going to run in Nationwide this year. So, I mean, you're stepping into a quality machine with a quality team that's got a real legitimate shot at winning the title.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think Ford's won 13 races last year. So, and obviously, like you said, Ricky winning the championship. And I think week in, week out, every time the 6, the 16, or 6, they roll off the trailer, they were at the top of the board on the timing and scoring, and you know, when we showed up, we knew that we're gonna have to beat those three cars. They were probably they're always at the top, and to go into this season knowing those are the cars I'm climbing into is just really exciting, and knowing I have that opportunity to I'm gonna be in the same cars that won the championship last year, knowing probably through my whole career this is the best chance I have won in championships. So I guess. You can just keep saying exciting over and over again, but there's really no other way to put it, knowing the equipment I'm getting in this year.
Yeah, it's not saying that you were in bad equipment, but you're moving up to championship caliber equipment with all the backing of, as I said, Jack Roush's shop building chassis, Roush Yates engines. We've seen what they can do with Richard Petty and his crew. I mean, he only does things one way, and that's the right way to win championships. And it looks like you're in a situation now where you can contend in qualifying to be up front. You can contend to leading laps, winning races, winning a championship. I mean, this is what every driver dreams of.
Yeah, definitely. I think we saw for sure last year the Ford motors and the power that they're putting out. I don't think there's any other manufacturer that really could contend with them. And then you get in the chassis themselves and the way they're maintained and put together, the way Jack does, runs his operation, knowing that, the RPM shops across the street and each week another car is coming across the street and we're preparing it and doing it Richard's way. And then you get the Ford motors on top of that. Like I said, hopefully it's going to be a dream year. And like I said, just the best opportunity I've had to run for that championship and win races.
Time with Michael Lynette here on Pit Pass USA. He'll be driving for Richard Petty Motorsports in the NASCAR Nationwide Series. Of course, they're getting set to open up their season in just a little over a week. And Michael, going through your bio, I've got to ask you this, because it says attended Knoxville Nationals the day he was born. Now, can you explain it? Were you born at the racetrack, or was it the same day that they went to the race and it's, oh, we better go to the hospital?
No, it wasn't the day I was born, but they did plan. My mom, I was a C-section, and they definitely planned it to make sure it was on a Monday or Tuesday so that we could be at Knoxville on Saturday. That's what my dad always says. I probably started breathing the fumes a little bit too early, but it's just something that gets in your blood, and I'm definitely blessed to be able to do what I do.
Well, that maybe a lot of people don't know your background. Your family also owned a championship World of Outlaws team, so you've been around racing since basically you were born.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my dad owns TMC Transportation, and I was born in 86, and at that point he'd already, you know, owned a sprint car team, you know, I think a few years before that, and then when I was born, obviously, Sammy Swindell was driving that number one car, and week in, week out, you know, we're at the dirt track, and it's just, it's a sport I fell in love with, and pretty proud to, you know, my dad lets me, he got me started, and I owe everything to him, and you know, just like I said, I was probably born into it a little too early.
Well, you also participated in USAC, and we've seen so many drivers that have done that now, the Jeff Gordons, the Tony Stewarts, the Casey Kane, and many drivers that have come through those ranks. And I always say I think it gives you car control. How do you feel that may help you to get where you are today and your driving capabilities?
I think it's huge. I mean, a lot of people don't know it, but, you know, I started out playing hockey. My dad got out of the sport in 93. And, you know, I always thought I was going to grow up, you know, race go-karts and go through the sprint car ranks. And you know, in 93, he decided he didn't want to be in the sport anymore. And I was kind of left wondering what I was going to do. And I started playing hockey. And then when I was 19 years old, we lost I played in the USHL, and we lost in the playoffs. And then a week later, I was down at Memphis Motorsports Park in a Silver Crown car. So that was the very first thing I ever drove, and probably the first thing I ever drove probably had the most horsepower and taught me the most I've ever learned. But, you know, like you said, it was a huge help. Teaches you car control, but really lightweight cars with a ton of horsepower, and you got to, you know, it takes a lot to get one of those things around a racetrack, for it to be the very first thing I got in has definitely been a big help.
Yeah, going from hockey to a race car, that's interesting. What position did you play in hockey? I got to ask real quickly.
I played defense, but I was 180 pounds, 5'9", and I don't really think those are NHL NHL stats. So my hockey career kind of ran its course, and everything just came together at the right time to be able to get in a race car.
Well, it looks like it's working out pretty well for you. At least right now, you've got a great opportunity this year. And, Michael, I want to thank you for taking some time out as you prepare to head down to Daytona. And best of luck in the season opener and all year long.
Yeah, I appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
Michael Annette, someone to really watch here in 2012 of the NASCAR Nationwide Series. Of course, their season kicks off 2 weeks from this Saturday at Daytona, and being with Richard Petty Motorsports, having the same chassis that Ricky Stenhouse Jr. won with last year with the title, and the Roush Yates engines, got to figure he is going to be right in the mix week in and week out, and we will find out in that very, very big season opener. Well, speaking of NASCAR and things like that, they've actually been doing some tire tests down at Texas Motor Speedway yesterday and today. Denny Hamlin was there, Tony Stewart, Clint Bowyer, Greg Biffle, and Jeff Burton. So all of the manufacturers basically got covered, but there were, let's see, two Toyotas, two Chevys, and, oh, yes, only one Ford on hand. And, no Dodges were in the tire test. Kind of interesting there. So one of the Penske cars not there on hand for that. Also some other news, Andy Lally coming off his GT win at the Rolex 24 when he was driving for Magnus Racing, is going to join the Flying Lizards in their Porsche effort at the Mobile 1 12 Hours of Sebring. Simon Pagenaud, very busy young man. Of course, he's going to be running full-time in the IndyCar Izod Series. Well, he is going to be the third driver for the Muscle Milk team down at the 12 Hours of Sebring. And maybe a surprise, maybe not, Takuma Sato will lead Bobby Rahal, the Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing's return to full-time racing in the Izod IndyCar Series season this coming year. So those are just some news and notes from around the world of racing. I would like to thank my guests tonight, Chris Dyson, Alan Johnson, Corey McLenathan, and Michael Annette. Of course, I always want to thank you for listening to the program. You make us what we are, and we try to bring you the best guests possible. Someone that we'll be talking to next week will be Mario Andretti. Believe it or not, it was 45 years ago that he won the Daytona 500. We will talk to him about that win and much more on the show next week with many, many more things as we go into, of course, the startup of activity back at Daytona with the ARCA race, the Bud Shootout, Daytona 500 qualifying, and then really get into the next week, too. And that's where I'm headed. Actually, a week from today, I will be Well, at this hour, I will be in Daytona Beach. That's where I will be once again. Don't forget, you can always email me, LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com, LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. We are on Twitter, PitPassUSA, Facebook, PitPassUSA with Larry Henry. Do love to hear from you. And if you missed the show or you hear something, say, hey, you tell your buddy about it, and they missed it, well, they can always go to either iTunes and find us or just go to PitPassUSA.com. All the shows are archived. Again, thank you very much for listening. Have yourself a great weekend, and we will see you next week from Daytona Beach when we join each other again here on PitPass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Do it for this week. Time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.